Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Hello. Andrews. I had a terrible fiasco this morning, you know.
Really?
Terrible fiasco. Well, I took my, you know, I use a little sort of, I don't never know what they're called, those.
She's making signs at me, listener.
Mocker pots.
She's making signs at me that I don't like the look of.
Little mocker pots.
A mocker pot.
Yeah.
No, you know, I don't know what a mocker pot is.
You know the stove top that you put your ground coffee in.
Oh, right.
You
yeah.
let the water bubble up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what I always tell you to get. It's so simple. It's really, really good. You'd love it. Better than the old machine. I've got a machine. I've got yeah. an espresso.
Yeah.
Other brands are available.
Yeah.
But I actually prefer the coffee from the coffee bean shop.
Right.
And
I've lost the plot already.
Anyway, so this little I don't have coffee every day, but I do like one of an occasion. So I was in a rush. I was doing my green smoothie and all that, and then I took this mocha pot, whatever it's called, espresso thingy bobby, off my hob and unscrewed it like that, thinking it was clean, and some hyena in my house had left it with all the coffee grounds, and then there's always a little bit of water at the bottom.
You made a mess, didn't you?
Went all over my frock.
Oh,
all over my frock.
You don't want it on your frock.
No, so I've immediately...
It'll stain.
Exactly, coffee. Mm. So I did what my mother told me to do. So I immediately...
Wear a vest.
Go to the toilet, yeah. Take a handkerchief.
Exactly.
My mum used to boil up handkerchiefs, you know, in the 60s in a saucepan.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that awful?
Can you afford food? Used to live in all in a roll and eat boiled hankies.
And so, long story short, I've now sprayed said coffee stains on frock, and it's in a soap with cold water. That's what my mother told me, for blood or coffee stains, I think. And you know what's really difficult to get out? My new husband, my son.
He's difficult to shift, yeah.
He's very difficult to shift. Yeah. You need to soak him long and hard.
Yeah.
This
isn't getting any better, is it?
Youngest, Che Serkin, who works for Stripe. Yeah. And we've been talking about cashless society.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
And because he's my kid, we only talk by WhatsApp. I mean, we never actually speak.
You wouldn't recognise him if you bumped into him
in
the street. No, of course
not. I wouldn't. You know, he lives in Greenwich, and we just WhatsApp each other, and you know, love you and all that sort of stuff, and whatever. So I said to him about this cashless society and how the new husband couldn't get any money out of Lloyds Bank and everything else. So he said, oh dear, my whole job is helping customers get rid of cash. And so he was doing the other side. You know, they don't keep cash on premises. There's no cost to transporting cash.
This is one of the big issues I've seen. I noticed you were discussing this with James Dellingpole on Twitter.
Did I?
Yeah. And he was getting right umpy about people not taking cash and threatening not to use their shops anymore.
Oh, yeah.
There's a problem here for small shop owners is, what do you do with the cash once you've got it? Because most of the banks won't take it anymore. And that's what people are missing, is that if you take a lot of cash, especially in coins and small denomination notes, so if you're a coffee shop or whatever, you can't, where do you deposit the cash? You know, if you look at where I live, we don't have any banks in Tenterton. You know, my bank closed years ago. The nearest bank to us is a 30-mile round trip, and I'm not sure they take cash either.
Listener, we've got Tracy Ferguson in the studio with us
Hello.
Today. She's in person, and I know she wants to say something. That's why I'm introducing her very quickly. You can follow her on @Tazy64, and I saw your little mouth opening there. Come on, you're dying to
I know.
Say something.
I was just about to say that post offices do take cash because I've quite often been in a queue behind somebody who's
paying in cash,
got lots and lots of bags.
Counting
quite
it out.
They haven't got a full bag. So there are other ways. But again, post offices are going as well.
And closing. You know. And this is the problem. You know, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that people should go completely cashless because I don't agree with it myself. But Shay is also right. You know, there's a massive amount of positive things with digital currency, And there's a massive amount of negative things.
Until it restricts you, that's the thing, isn't it?
That's the problem.
It's fine if you have choice.
Yeah, the problem is that you then are completely at the beck and call of the banks and whatever they decide to do to your account. And we've discussed this many times about the stupid things that banks do. You know, I had a bank that wouldn't talk to me because I couldn't tell them what my date of birth was.
That's crazy.
You know, and it's just
bonkers. What do you mean you couldn't tell them? You know your date of birth.
I know, but they had it down wrong. And because I got it wrong, they wouldn't talk to me.
That's terrible.
Yeah, they go, what's your date of birth? I go, 22nd of August, 1955. They go, sorry, we can't talk to you. You failed the check. And I go, but I know my date of birth. I was there.
Yeah, you were where your mother was there too.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get my mum on the phone. She'll tell you.
Well, I got my own back the other day because it's about choice, isn't it? So we've got ice cream man only wants cash. Our local cafe only want cash. Mm. Our kebab shop only wants cash. We have a nice kebab shop and they're really nice guys.
We've just had a third one open near me.
Really? Kebabs?
The third kebab shop, yeah.
I really like kebab of an occasion when I don't want to cook. And it can be quite healthy, I think. So they came round.
Really?
It can be quite healthy. Yeah, of course it can.
Chicken kebabs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
chicken,
you have your...
Chicken, hold on.
You have your chopped cabbage.
I'm talking to Tracy. Hold on. Chicken cheese.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we always ask for the chili sauce on the side because my lips puff up if I have chili. So they do it on the side. They're really good guys.
Is that like Botox?
Yeah. I'll let you know because I avoid it. But I love chili.
I'm going to tell my stuffer now. My stuffer runs Tenson Grill. I'm going to tell him that.
Yeah.
You can go into the Botox business with your chili sauce.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nice one.
It can because you get your shredded cabbage and all that, don't you? And beetroot and red cabbage.
Nice big salad.
But anyway, I got my own back because we have a little coin box of loose change, and as every house does, I'm sure, a little jam jar or a little teacup or something. And so I was counting out and I thought, got so many 2p's because it's cash only. So I was counting out 15 quid in 2p's and 5p's. And then I put them all in little piles and gave them to him.
I've got a jar where it's a digital jar.
Oh.
And when you put a coin in, it adds it up.
Is that a Christmas present?
I've had it about 20
years. I'd love one of those.
And it's full of coins. I've never emptied it. There's £16.48 in there. I know, because it says it on the
Well, thing. As a kid, do you remember as a kid, Tracy, you might remember, I got a Christmas present where you'd put your money down and it rolled down and then it went into...
I remember seeing them, yes.
Little florin. What were they? Florin. And,
florins, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't really. I'm not really that old.
It was a florin.
That was a joke.
No.
Little helter skelter.
I never had a florin.
It was a florin. We were debating.
Shrumpney beer.
No. We were debating this on Twitter the other day as well about florins and 2 shilling pieces. They didn't cease to become legal tender until 1990, when they changed the size of a 10p coin, because the old florin and the 2 shilling piece were all the same size as the original new 10p. When they changed the size, it's when they went out of circulation, because people are going, this royalty stuff's stupid, we're going to have to change all the banknotes now. That's nonsense. Queen Elizabeth was the first monarch to go on a paper note. Anyway, before she was queen, the monarch wasn't on a paper
note.
She
must have ever such small feet.
Yeah, exactly.
I noticed at my garden centre.
But the fact is,
sorry to interrupt.
All the way through my life with old coins before decimalisation, you quite often have Victorian pennies that would turn up in your change, or you know, George the Fifth or whatever.
The odd penny farthing.
You know, they don't take it out of circulation just because of that.
Well, at my garden centre, because you know the new husband's dug a little pond, which is lovely. I'll send you a picture later of me and him in the pond, because it was quite a hot day. And of course, there's no fish in there because I don't think we can put fish because we've got seagulls. They're already mounted on the roof looking.
Yeah.
But we dug this lovely pond and it's really nice. It's just a natural pond, but it's really deep. So
it's not natural. You dug it.
Well, it's going to be a natural pond. It's going to have newts and things in it, you know, and kingfishers. Newts. Yeah, kingfishers and things. And frogs and things. And anyway, so I might cultivate frogs and we could have frog's legs. I could become a frog's leg farmer. There's a sideline.
I'm not getting involved in that conversation. I nearly said something completely.
May we?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really hot, and I got in, and he told me off because it's the pond. He's very proprietal about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. He dug it.
He said it's not a pool liner; it's a pond liner, and you know the stones all split as I. But I padded in. In my bikini, and it's really deep, and it was lovely. And I got a picture of then he, of course, came in and followed me in because he couldn't resist. So now we're wondering whether to keep it as a little plunge pool.
I saw him in Wellies when it was raining.
Oh gosh, yeah, that was it. Yeah, but there'll still be a water shortage, Tracy. You know, because we've got our own little reservoir now. But you know, have some.
Yeah, but you've been sat in it. You're not going to drink it now, are you?
but you know, there was again sewage in our brook. That there
in your
have
pond?
Been. No, not in our pond. Our pond is pristine. But Southern Water have done in 36 hours in Tankerton and Whitstable. There have been 11. Eruptions of sewage or whatever they call them, 11. Mm. And all around the coast, I think I saw in Boscombe near Bournemouth, they were telling people not to swim. And we're in summer now, it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there was a dead seal on our beach yesterday. Did you see my picture?
I saw that, yes.
Very sad. We did have a bruise. I don't know if it was decomposing or he'd been hit. He had a big red patch on him. But Darcy, my greyhound, was frightened of him. She came right close to my leg. She was very frightened of him.
Mm. Yeah. Not surprised. Probably smelt.
It didn't really smell at the moment.
Yeah,
but
it didn't smell
now.
For you. The dog could smell it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a dead seal, that is. I'm not going near that.
No, I think it might have been hit by a jet ski or a boat.
Yeah, quite likely.
But I don't think the pollution's done him much good. Mm. Anyway, apart from Tracy Ferguson, who's in the studio, we've got James Rofe on.
We have indeed.
And of course, he is son of the lovely Tezza.
Yeah, he is.
Who fitted my alarm.
He did.
And your alarm.
And my alarm.
Yeah, Fruitworks.
And my one at home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've got to have him round again as well because...
Uh-oh, Terry.
Yeah.
Go on holiday, mate.
Yeah, I need to have him round again because, we've dislodged where the camera in the back garden was because there's no shed there. His guy's got to come and put it on a post. And then because Darcy behaves differently... We haven't, because we got lots of settings, one for dog and one for this and one for that.
One
previous
for dog.
Yeah, where dog roams in the house, you see.
What dog gets up to while you're not there.
Yeah, exactly.
So what does the setting do then?
Well, we've got one for Cassie, our old dog, but she was really well behaved.
What does the setting actually do?
Well, it has different zones, so dog-free zones.
Right, okay, so it doesn't record anything that happens where the dog is.
Yeah,
right,
if you're a burglar, I'm not telling you where.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah,
okay.
But this new dog
I didn't know if it was like my... See, I got a Mercedes car.
Have you done it?
Hold on, we've stayed in a heart. The headlights. The headlights in my car are on full beam permanently. Yeah.
Right.
And what happens is, if anything comes the other way, it just blocks them out with a black block.
What do you mean it blocks them out?
So it doesn't blind the person.
So it doesn't blind the person coming towards you.
Unlike Volvos, which blind you.
Yeah, it doesn't blind you. What it does is it puts a black block. Mm-hmm. On the actual car that's coming towards you, but you've still got full beam either side. It's bizarre to watch it.
I'm parked next to your state-of-the-art Mercedes with my state-of-the-art Mercedes.
Does yours do that as well?
I don't think mine does.
Have you got automatic headlights?
Yeah. Well, and automatic rain things as well. They come on.
Yeah.
And all sorts. I've got so much in that car that I don't know how to actually work, I have to admit.
Steering wheel, brakes.
Yeah, and then new husband goes in and adjusts everything, and I get in and the chair's completely wrong. I don't know what he does. Anyway, who might our sponsor be?
Right, it's an absolute pleasure to be sponsored once again by the lovely folks at DG East. They're independent new and used car vehicle suppliers and services, supply car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operators' services. You can find out more about them by going to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk. Okay, and thank you very much to Terry and the team for supporting us.
Yeah, and he had a very swanky car when I did the show, when you were swanning off in there eating your frog's legs and snails and things.
I know what it was.
What was it? It was a white one.
It was a white one.
Yeah, it was white with wheels.
It was a Lexus 4x4 SUV.
Very, very sexy it was. Mm. It was really nice.
I think it was a hybrid one as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, had bells and whistles and everything.
Yeah.
The Seven Oaks Business Show.
Yeah.
They're destined to be the biggest and the best, and it's an opportunity for the cream of Sevenoaks businesses to showcase their products and services, not just to fellow businesses, but to the public as well, to set off the exhibitors in the best possible light. The show is being held this year in the newly opened Bat and Ball Centre, which is in Crampton's Road. The centre provides over 3,300 square feet of exhibition space, has state-of-the-art lighting and facilities, and extensive free car parking with more than 30 exhibitors. So this is Sevenoaks, and I'm just going to read you the speaker lineup. There's a holiday park entrepreneur, Alfie Best. Hasn't he been on the show?
No, he hasn't.
Sounds familiar.
No, he kind of
talked about him.
No, he kind of has. He was a guest speaker at one of the awards ceremonies that I did for Sevenoaks, and I did a little Vox Pop interview with him.
Lovely. Yep. And there's Emma Thompson, not the actress, a partner at Thackeray Williams Solicitors. There's Kizzy Nicholson of Social Fireworks. There's Do or Don't Social Media. There's Austin Blackburn of Go Coach. And the future of bus services. Oh, that's a laugh. Is there a future?
Yeah, need to go to his talk to
need
find
to
out.
And when is it I Hear You Cry? It's September the 22nd, 10 a.m. until 2 o'clock, and that's the Sevenoaks Business Show. All details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
It's a lovely show. They didn't run it during the pandemic like most other things, but 2 or 3 years before that, I've always gone to that show, and it's always been a really lovely show. It's in a completely new venue because they've just opened this new Bat and Ball Conference Centre, and we did the Sevenoaks Business Awards there a couple of months ago, and it's a lovely little centre. It's right next to Bat and Ball Station. It's great. It's good.
What else have we got?
I've got a tweet from Chips and Dinks.
Oh, yeah, Twitter's gone bananas, actually.
Helpful and maybe much needed advice and support on today's show from James Roffey and Tracy Ferguson. Worth listening in or catching up later. And they're saying, hashtag wellness, mindset, mental health matters, support local, support small business, mindfulness, feelings. They went mad with the hashtags. I'll tell you who I haven't heard from today, which is a real surprise.
Who?
I hope she's okay. It's Steph at MPSL.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Well, maybe they've got one of their South African blackouts.
Could have.
Could be.
Could have.
You know,
happen,
it's a place close to my heart, South Africa, and I love it. There's a leading food brand, you know, Macnaise, and it's celebrating its 175th anniversary.
I know. It doesn't look a day over 50, does it?
Stefan's doing very well, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
With a huge birthday bash. Mm. And the Kent base, I bet it's when I'm away. Mm. Yes, it is. And if anybody's listening, I've got lots of burly people looking after the dog. So the Kent-based food and drink retailer is inviting visitors to its flagship Faversham Food Village to mark this occasion on Saturday, September the 17th. Mm. I'm not going to fly back for that.
Right.
I'll be in Valencia eating paella.
Will you?
Yeah.
And drinking.
Yeah, and drinking a little carver. Little organic carver, of course.
Oh, that's right then.
Yeah, so it's going to feature, of course, local producers with tastings, masterclasses, street food and drink stalls, which will showcase Macnaid's partners from the food local community. There'll also be live music from Gracie and the Booms and a feel-good soundtrack from DJ Finchy. Sounds very hip, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
It's 175 years, says Stefano Cuomo. Say it in Italian way. 175 years is an incredible milestone, and it's only fitting that we celebrate it in style with our community of staff, suppliers and friends. There you go.
Fantastic. Construction Expo I've been on. They say all are welcome to our free lunchtime drinks reception, networking and business briefing on latest construction contracts with Neil Edwards at the Construction Expo on the 22nd of September at the Crawley Conference Centre. So do check that out. Right.
It's that time.
You've got to get this. It's cheesy tunage time. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the Business Bunker Show, Mr. James Roffey. James, good afternoon. Welcome to the bunker.
Are we going
to
listen to this?
Hi there. Good, nice to meet you both.
We might as well
listen to James.
See
and then we'll have tunage.
I don't know. I want to start off, if I may, James, just talking about your journey to where you've got to now. With the business that you're in, if you don't mind kind of giving us an overview of that.
Yeah, so like essentially I'm 34 years old now. Obviously my My journey started when I was 17. Obviously, my eating disorder started then. Obviously, all in all, I had it for 10 years. It started out for the first year as anorexia. So it was the restriction of food. It was the excessive exercise, like daily. That all started when I turned 16. I had a couple of big like life events happen. I was let go from Charlton Athletic as a goalkeeper. It was kind of mapped out from an early age that I was going to be a goalkeeper. I played for town, played for county, got scouted by Charlton, played for them for a number of years, and obviously they let me go before.
Sorry to interrupt you there. How tall are you?
6'4".
Yeah, my youngest son Stu was at the Chelsea Academy as a goalkeeper.
Right, and
they let him go because he wasn't tall enough.
That was one of the reasons. I was a late grower.
And my Stuart is 6'4" now.
Yeah, so that you say is quite gutting. Obviously, I was probably 5'7", 5'8". I was probably one of the shortest on the team, but it didn't kind of inhibit my skills. But yeah, it's obviously that checklist, isn't it? Especially if you're a goalkeeper. So
absolutely. Sorry to interrupt.
I was let go at the age of 16. I then, after my first year of A levels, I didn't do very well in my business studies exam. Wasn't allowed to carry it on, right. And obviously my dad owned his own security company in Bearsted. My brother did like business studies at university, and it was kind of felt like I had to follow their sort of, because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
It was
like
business
studies. It's general, and obviously you can find your niche and bespoke what you want to do like further down the line. So it's like I needed to do it. So I had to leave school, which again was a big rigmarole, like leaving all my friends. And then, so when I started college, I did a 2-year BTEC national diploma at Mid Kent College.
Yep.
And I think upon starting there, my nan, my mum's mum, she used to live in Peckham. She sold a house. We had a big extension built on the side of our house. And before the work was completed, she was diagnosed with cancer, and she passed away within, it was quite aggressive. I think she passed away within about 3 or 4 months. And obviously seeing that, just the rate of decline, and obviously there's nothing I could do. There's nothing doctors could do, but it was just another thing as in like, I'm not in control of my life. And it was like the way I almost punished myself. It was like I can't control what's happening with all these external factors, but I can control what happens to me. And it was kind of like a way of like, I'm not good enough for football. I'm not good enough for school. I'm not good enough to help my family. So I just punish myself. I know I have like a obsessive personality. If I do something, I do it to the nth degree. And I just go all in on it. And obviously when something as divisive as an eating disorder takes hold of my life, it pretty much was the very thing that nearly killed me. So within like a year of dealing with the anorexia, it then manifested itself into bulimia for the remaining like 9 years. And it's literally like there's so many traits that I literally just copied, like the step-by-step guide of other people that have had eating disorders. It's like you restrict, and then you rebel against that and you binge. And that's obviously what I did for 9 years. Like, didn't work, stayed at home, lost contact with all my friends from school. And it's exactly what it wants. It's become more in the mainstream now, obviously, like eating disorders and obviously the mental health. And that's brilliant to see. But obviously back, we're talking 12, 13 years ago, there was no support at all. And it was very much like it strips away any goodness in your life, and it leaves you with nothing. And it's almost like Stockholm syndrome. You have nothing but the eating disorder. That's your comfort, but that's also the thing that's killing you. And it was like this constant vicious cycle of like, I'll stop this on Monday. I'll have one last binge, and like Monday comes around and it's like, I'll have another one. And that leads on to like weeks turn into months turn into years. And then obviously towards the end, I started like passing out due to just like ill health. I used to, if I got up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, just everyday things that people do, because I was so underweight, if I got out of bed too quick, I'd pass out and I'd wake up on the bathroom floor. And it's like, so I got admitted to hospital. Maidstone Hospital like a few times. I was on drips like for potassium and phosphate because my potassium levels were like dangerously low. My parents had to sign like a do not resuscitate form at my worst. Obviously, I was in a high risk of going into cardiac arrest, but obviously with my potassium levels being so low, I've understood to know that potassium levels is kind of like the petrol in your car.
Right.
If there's no petrol, it won't run. And if your heart stops, if you've not got enough potassium, they're like the electrolyte to kickstart your heart. And it was just like they wouldn't have even attempted to try. And even that wasn't the, you think that would be the wake up call, as in like, I need to get my life together. That's the, it wasn't. I still had it for a few years after that. I was after coming out of hospital, I then spent it was about 2 or 3 months in an eating disorder unit at Maidstone Hospital called the Red House. And it was like, at the age of 22, I was basically being taught how to eat again, which, like, it's, yeah, like little meals, small and like little and often. You were like watched as a, like, all eyes were on you. You couldn't leave the room. And it's obviously, it sounds like intense, but I think it's what I needed. I needed someone to take that control away from me. Obviously, what I was doing was, it's just a slow, I never wanted to like kill myself. I never had any like suicidal thoughts, but it is like a slow suicide. You are just slowly, your health is just deteriorating slowly to the point where something will give out and you can't, and there's no coming back. But obviously I managed to, the eating disorder unit was really good. Obviously my dad put me in touch with, a few other, I saw a hypnotist. I saw, Ash Lawrence, psychologist. I think Ash was probably one of the biggest helps for me, from what I can remember. I think in terms of, obviously there was a correlation between like sport, obviously me being sporty, and obviously with him working with the England cricket team and Gillingham Football Club, I kind of built up a rapport with him, so I was probably more open and receptive to what he was telling me and the advice that he was giving me. And that all kind of kickstarted the recovery. I then got an opportunity to move up to Sheffield I had like a new career as a construction buyer, and that was kind of like I need to get my life sorted now. It's like, if I'm going to do this, I can't be at the other side of the country, like out of sight, out of mind. And I took the job. 6 months later, got made redundant. It was kind of like, what do I do? I went on holiday to kind of figure out where I go next. And then I came back and ended up meeting someone, like the first person I feel that I ever loved. Moved in with her, and like 18 months into the relationship, she sent me a WhatsApp message saying that she doesn't love me anymore. And she wants me to move out. And it was like a massive blow. But I think instead of being able to share my life with her for that 18 months, it kind of, for the previous 10 years of being so secretive with someone, she kind of helped me move on to another level. And after that, obviously, when we did split up, I decided to go to the gym. I had it in my head that I wasn't man enough. I wasn't like a protective figure, and I know that probably sounds a bit like sexist or old, like old fashioned.
But that's the whole thing when you get into a cycle like this, isn't it? You come up with those irrational reasons for why these things are happening to you.
Yeah, and I think obviously that was like, when I first started going to gym, I was nine stone.
Wow,
being like 6'4". Obviously, that's obviously, there's photos obviously from when I first moved up to Sheffield, and I just looked like a different person. But started going to gym, and in 18 months, I put on like 5.5 stone.
Right.
Tracked my journey on Instagram, not as a way of becoming some influencer thing. It was more like accountability. As in, like, if I put it on social media, it's out there for my followers to see, and I can't regress. I can't go back. And obviously then, Instagram kind of blew up because of my transformation, and I got into like modeling. I got into like TV extra acting work. But then obviously there was a lot of people messaging me about like, oh, can you train me? Like, how have you got yourself into that shape so quick? Like, train me. And it was kind of like a light bulb moment. Like, I love the gym. It was never ever my passion before. It's always been football, and obviously this has come out of nowhere in terms of the gym, and it's been like I do call it my savior. It's given me like a second start in life. And yeah, it was like a number of people reached out to me. So I put various videos on about my like mental health struggles in the past. And then obviously I've had families reach out to me about their sons. And I know, obviously talking to my dad, obviously he was saying about, there was no one like you when we needed help. He said that you are.
Yep. No, I get that. Yep.
And it's like people can, it's not about like they look up to me as some like, but it's like you can look up to me and be like, no matter how crap your life is or how far at rock bottom you are, it doesn't define who you are. It may take a proportion of your life away from you, but it doesn't, the rest of your life is going to be crap. Like you can turn it around. And I say, I'm an example of that. And it's like what I've managed to do, like with my business now, obviously I've become like a fully qualified personal trainer and I've got all my badges and all my insurance and stuff. And obviously what I do now is my business is kind of split between like two aspects. I've got the people that just want a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I'll do like one-on-one sessions, like obviously if they're local, or I do like an online coaching plan and like check in with them on a daily, like weekly basis. But then obviously I do also have the people that are struggling with their own mental health. It's more commonly like eating disorders, anxiety, depression. Obviously lockdown, there's so many people I know have suffered with like social anxiety. For 18 months you're locked up and then you're like, well, you can go out now. It's like, well, I know I had it when I went back to like football training, when you were in a group of like 20 lads and it's like you're not used to all these people. Like do I talk it was a weird, I've never ever noticed anything like that before. And
yeah,
I'm not the only one. There's obviously people that have gone back into work that don't like it and have carried on working from home because it's making that transition. Although 18 months doesn't seem a long time, I think it was so intense where you just like, no, you can't leave, you can't go anywhere. Yeah. And I think like people then trying to make that transition back into like normality,
yeah,
are struggling with it.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And it wasn't just the lockdown. It was the fear of meeting other people that the government installed by saying, not only can't you go out, but if you do, you got to stand well away from everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it was my social media was, and I'm sure most people's were, it was very divided between the do you get protection, do you not? And it's like, it kind of, as much as I ignored the news and much as you ignore social media, you do just,
it just goes in. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, when you are surrounded by people, I don't know, like when you go to the supermarket and someone's coughing, you think like,
it's
something that you wouldn't even bat an eyelid before about it, but it's like, again, it's in the back of your mind, like silly things like that. But obviously if you are like struggling with your own demons and you have other things like that, it can send you on such a cycle of, yeah. And it's obviously, that's what I try and help people deal with that.
Okay. And you do that both face to face locally where you are in Yorkshire now, but you also do online for anyone around the country.
Yeah, 100%. I said, obviously, like I do like face to face, like Zoom meetings with people. Obviously, I'll always do like a free, like consultation where we will look at like how they're feeling, what their issues are, what they want to get out of working with me, what kind of help they need, and then we will kind of come up with a short term, medium, long term plan, and then we would obviously, if they want to go ahead with that, then obviously we would work together. I say it always starts like it's like little steps, obviously, because some of these people have either never exercised, and like they look at me, and when I say about I have these like three pillars that I teach, it's like it's mindset, nutrition, and training. And like people understand the mindset part of it, and they understand the nutrition part of it. When they think training, they think like bodybuilder, like in the gym, like loads of weights. It's like, no, it's not. It's like, if you've never exercised before or you haven't done in a long time, like walk to the shop.
Right.
Like go for a walk for sure. If you've got a dog, take your dog for a walk. Walk around the park. Like that's training in my eyes. There's obviously doing something more than what you're doing now. And it's like the three of them together. Like there's the saying that you can't out train a bad diet. So it's like the nutrition is more important than training. It's like, and I think the one thing that kind of gets like dismissed is your mindset. If you don't have the right mindset and your head isn't in the right place, it doesn't matter about like the gym or going for a walk or eating, because you're not going to care.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right, and that counts for anything. I mean, many years ago, I was a heavy smoker, And I gave up smoking and drinking alcohol at the same time. You can't do that unless your mind's in the right place.
Yeah, 100%.
It's easy not to smoke. You just don't light a cigarette. But it's what goes in your mind that says, oh, well, you know, I can have one more. Or I'll just have one and then I'll stop. Or I have one and then I'll stop. And it's the same with drink. It's the same with food. Unless you're mentally attuned to doing something, you've never got the motivation to not do the thing that you don't want to do, if you see what I mean.
100%. I say, like, and that's what, like, and I know there are millions of personal trainers out there. Like, you go into any gym and there's like five or six on the floor at any time, and I'm sure the majority of them are all brilliant, obviously. Like, I won't be the only personal trainer that has had an eating disorder, but in terms of like the being able to relate, obviously, like someone like you said about like giving up smoking and alcohol, I'm sure if you told that story to someone that has quit smoking themselves, like, Paul, that's amazing. Like, to do both, that's amazing. But you talk to someone that has never smoked and has never drank, they're like, you just don't do it. Just stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
They have no prior knowledge, and they've got no emotional attachment to what you've done and how big that achievement is. It's like, so anyone coming from like that wants help from me about anxiety, depression, like eating disorder, like, I lived it for 10 years, and it's like, I think to be able to work with someone that has been there, done it, and come out the other side of it, there's so much like emotional attachment that you have with your client, and it's something like that kind of bond is like how I work with people. And it's like, to be able to put yourself in their position and relate to them, I don't think many people that do what I do or personal trainers would be able to do that. So I think that's where like my kind of little niche in the personal training industry is at, to be honest. Yeah. So yeah.
No, James, I totally agree with you. And you know, anybody that's lived that issue has a far better understanding of what it takes to overcome it. As you say, than people that have never been there, because it looks easy, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, you know, you quite often hear people talking to people that are depressed, and they go, well, just pull yourself together. And you go, well, yeah, if it was that easy, don't you think I would have worked out how to do that? You know, it's just that's a factuous statement. It just
I had comments when before, like, my eating disorder really took a grip, and I was losing like a lot of weight, and I was still like socially active with some of my friends, and it was just like, God, I know you'd feel better just by having a decent meal. And it's like, again, it's probably just a flippant comment, and yeah, they never meant anything by it, but it's like those sort of things. It's like, you've got no idea. You've got no idea what's going on in there. Oh, like, she's like, he or she's like skinny. God, she needs a good McDonald's. And it's like, it's a flippant comment, and they don't mean any ill meaning. It's just like, it's one of them comments, just like, you don't have a clue. Like, if it was that easy, like, the world wouldn't be in such a state as it is. Like, things, NHS wouldn't be stretched, there'd be no like mental health charities, because you just go, all right, I'll stop it, it's fine. I wish life was that easy, but it's not.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think you're right. I mean, people aren't trying to be hurtful, they just don't know what to say, do they? So they just say what they say, the most obvious thing they can think of. Well, eat a steak then, and then you'll be fine. Yeah, exactly.
I see it as in like my dad and I remember we watched a film like many moons ago called like Pay It Forward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you had the kid from The Sixth Sense in, and obviously it was about, that's kind of like I had loads of help in terms of like the mental health team at the Red House at Mason Hospital, and obviously my mum and my dad, obviously my parents had been nothing but like amazing for me. And I just feel like to be able to, and obviously I already have done with people, and it's like, yes, I do it as a business, and yes, I need to earn money to continue to do it and to grow and to reach more people. But it's like the feeling of being able to have someone that started here and they want to get there, and I've guided them, and then they don't need my help anymore because I've empowered them enough to be able to deal with whatever life chucks at them. It's like that feeling is amazing. It's like, it's almost like it's as good as, or if not more important than like the money in my eyes. It's like to be able to take someone out of a place where like they want to change and they want to implement all of these things, but they've just not got a clue where to start. And it's like, it's just very like to be able to help to help people put them on a, it's not, what I do, it isn't like rocket science. I think you just lay it out to them in an easy way and just implement little changes that each one creates something in their head. Obviously, like when they go for a walk, it's like the endorphins, and it's like when you're eating like better, you say like healthy food, obviously like they're all, everything's healthy in moderation, but like if you're eating like rich, like dense food, that's going to help like brain function and cognitive function, so you're more like self-aware, you're functioning better, you're thinking better, it's like you put all them things together, mm-hmm. and it's like you really then are in such a, you've got such a better chance of being able to like think about like what are you feeling anxious about, like what are you feeling depressed about, and it's like if you're in the mindset where you can like compartmentalize things, and like I tell all my clients, make lists, like I'm sure most of them probably got like a table full of lists everywhere, but it's like you can see the problem in your head, but you can't really look at it in a, like, to me, I just having it visualized in front of you, and yeah. it's like you can almost look like, okay, it's like you can break it down into whatever your issue is, like if you can break it down on paper, you can to me, you can come up with the method to get over it. And it's like just silly easy things like that see, yeah. some people just don't even think about, and it's like I just it's not rocket science, but I think because I'm just saying that because I know yeah. I know how to break that cycle, so cool.
James, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. What you've achieved is inspiring, and you are a role model for people that need the kind of help that you can provide. If people want to find out more about the work that you do, what's your website address?
My website is jamesthementalhealthpt.com. Obviously, that's got all my details, and obviously all the links to my Instagram and whatever, and obviously the ways you can contact me on there. So, yeah.
Fantastic. James, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Thank you for talking to us on the Business Bunker Show, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Paul. Take care, mate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk. to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Welcome back. That was James Roffey with a very powerful story about his early life and how he overcame it and has turned his experiences into a very valuable business, helping other people face the same kind of things.
Very interesting. And when he spoke about mindset, he's absolutely right, because we all know that if we're not in the mood, and Tracy, I'm sure, will be talking about this after.
Yeah.
If you're not in the mood, somebody can tell you, eat lettuce, eat protein. We all know how to lose weight and how to be healthy. But if you're feeling down or angry or just stuck, you go and have what you want, a bit of toast.
I think it's understanding as well where that came from. So James has a very powerful story and very inspirational. Mm. And, you know, it's events in his early life which have led to that, which have led to him maybe fighting back through control, through food. And there is so much in there that you know, will help other people. So, yeah, absolutely. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I was thinking, and the place he went to get help, was it Red House?
Yeah.
Red House. They were obviously very good, and it's very, very hard to find places like that, isn't it?
It was part of Maidstone Hospital.
Yeah. But it is really hard for people
to get
a proper place for anorexia or bulimia or
indeed
mental
anything.
Health.
Indeed anything, you know. Kenwood Trust, where we look after people with addictions, you know, it's incredibly, and we even get very little government help now as well. You know, people aren't funded to get help for things like that any longer, in any meaningful way. So, in a modern society, we face lots of problems like that, especially lots of mental health related problems and all those kind of things that have an underlying mental health issue, don't they? Addictions of all kinds, or food problems all have an underlying mental issue.
And I mean, if you think about just his lady that he was living with, terminating the relationship by WhatsApp, what a horrible thing to do.
The problem is it's not a nice thing to do under any circumstances, is it?
And people, but WhatsApp.
Yeah, I know, but you know, people get very touchy about things like that, and it's horrible. I agree with you, it's horrible, but you know, trying to look at everybody's point of view, you know, it's also horrible walking up to someone and going, I don't want to be with you anymore. Well, it's just as horrible doing it face to face as, you know, as copying out and doing it by text message or WhatsApp or an email or any other way that people are let go.
And going back to James's football rejection, in a way, you wonder how, whether schools or coaches or teams are sort of experienced in how they deal with it and how they, you know, reject people.
There's with Premier League clubs now, Charlton aren't a Premier League club these days, but with Premier League clubs they have whole departments for dealing with this. And of course a lot of it all depends at what stage you let go. And my club Chelsea, for instance, let a player go when he was 16, and we're trying to buy him back for 150 million quid. You know, so it's the problem is how mentally strong you are again when this happens to you, and whether you see it as the end of your career or just a career change,
an opportunity for something else.
And absolutely, you know, a football club like a Premier League club will let far more players go than they keep. That doesn't mean to say they're not going to have a career as professional footballers. It's just not with that club. You know, they might do it with another club in the Premier League or a club lower down, or a club abroad even. But they do tend to have departments now that help with that. Clubs without so much money, it's hard. You know,
they don't have big HR departments.
They don't have the facilities to help you. And basically, it's, well, thanks some, but we don't need you. You know, and that's it, really.
I must talk to James because I followed him for a long time after knowing his dad. But you know, like even for me, the change in the weather, I'm such a summer girl. I love, you know, I love not wearing anything. I love just going around in flip-flops.
She flaunts about naked. Flaunts about naked on the beach.
I love swimming in the sea. I love swimming in the sea and things. And as soon as that weather changed, we had a couple of cold days. I fancy carbs, I fancy chocolate, my whole sort of everything changes for me. It's very, very strange. Now, we've got the lovely Wayne Cunnington listening, one of my posse, Paul Andrews. He says, I'm listening to, he says, I lived in the gym. This is about, obviously, James, carried me through so much over the years. Lockdowns and my injury, that's his AstraZeneca injury, have messed my body right up. So I hope James is listening. And I need to try and get back to some light workouts again to help my head focus. And then he also says, I fell in love with a lady in the US, long story, but she let me go by email the day after I'd flown home. San Francisco, known her for years. Yeah, poor Wayne. Can you email? There have been a few film stars that have done that, haven't they? Got rid of people by email.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at people's lives, all of us have had multiple relationships, and the way I look at it, I'm being smarty about it now. At the time, it hurts. It always hurts when you break up.
Yeah.
But the fact is that you invariably end up with someone eventually that you stay with.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So I think through everything that I've experienced in my life, I wouldn't have met Mike. Lovely, and me. Yeah. So I wouldn't have been in this part of the country, and I wouldn't have met him. So, yes. Yeah. Completely.
Things are meant to be. So, Wayne, we hope you have a lovely woman in your life now. If not, there'll be one round the corner for you.
I'm not saying anything.
I sound like Mystic Meg, don't
you? Yeah.
Or an agony on.
Yeah. No, Mystic Meg. You got the look of Mystic Meg there, yeah.
I'm a bit confused about our song now. Are we having cheesy tunage?
I kind of abandoned it. It was going to be physical.
Well, you can't tell me. By Olivia Newton-John.
Well, I'm not going to play it now.
Was it by Olivia Newton-John?
Yes, it was.
Let's get physical.
That's it. Yeah, sing it.
Physical.
Yeah, sing it.
I want to get physical. Let's get into body talk. God, I mean, it's an incarnation, isn't
exactly.
It?
That was fantastic. It was better than the tune. Yeah. Well, at least you two worked. The tune didn't work. I don't know why it didn't play.
Happens to me whenever you go away. There's a gremlin in this studio. I'm telling you, you press the right button and sometimes it just doesn't work.
I was going to play it after the interview, but then we're going to run out of time, so I didn't bother.
Well, we got Tracy to sing.
But you two did a nice rendition of the opening bars of it. So now we know what it was. It was physical.
And wasn't it great to see all the Grease stuff again with Olivia Newton-John? And I mean, that is a whole era, isn't it, Tracy?
Yes. I remember seeing that at the cinema when it first came out. So it brought back some very happy memories.
Yeah, it did.
My son, again, Stuart, I'll talk a lot about Stuart at the moment.
Went out with Olivia Newton-John.
No. The first stage production he was ever in was Grease.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, as a 10-year-old, they did a version of Grease.
I was talking about that with my new husband, because I'm of an age. So my first real proper musical at Great Barrier Comp, rough school I went to.
Yeah, Essex, wasn't it, love?
Where was Pirates of Penzance.
Blimey.
And my mum and dad were a bit old-fashioned with me, and I wasn't allowed to wear jeans. I wasn't allowed. And because we had to have jeans and a white shirt, that was the uniform that pirates wore, apparently.
Well, obviously.
And so my cousin had to lend me some jeans. Isn't that sad? My mum and dad would let me have jeans. Isn't it strange? Very strict.
It didn't work, though, did it?
No, I rebelled.
Because you went mad after that, didn't you?
Yeah.
And now she doesn't wear jeans at all. She walks around naked, apparently.
Exactly, flip-flops.
Yeah, exactly.
Skim over that, Paul Andrews.
I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Paragon Drones. They say back-to-back interviews on self-improvement. It could only be the Business Bunker show. We would love a mention. Thank you very much. That's Paragon Drones. Consider yourself mentioned. And what's on in Kent? Very sad last week for the country, but lots of on in Kent this week. Quiz and music nights at TJ's Pub. Free fitness classes at Cyclo Park. Fitness classes at
Cyclo. Is that a new thing?
Fitness classes at Cyclo Park and Leeds Castle, continuing their design month. Pause in the park, Kent show down at the Declan Showground. Have a great Business Bunker show. Thank you so much.
Well, yes, the pause in the park is not P-A-U-S-E. It's a doggy one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm missing one.
Did you see your mate
Casey Canine
won an award at Paws and Pistons?
I know. Well, he's won a few awards.
That's not easy to say, Paws and Pistons.
No, and especially when you're sober.
Yeah.
The Neville Gaunt. Well,
I've been sober quite a long time.
I know. You're still practicing, though. Neville Gaunt says, have a great show. Wanted to listen to James, but he's just about to board a flight, so he's going to catch up later in the week. And I said bon voyage, and Tracy has said safe journey to him.
Denise Wilton has said, have fun on the Business Bunker show. Plucky cards are a great way for recognising and acknowledging your strengths and values. And we're going to be talking to Tracy about plucky cards and lots of other things in the second half of the show.
And who else have we got? My timeline's full. I need to do that. Look at it in a minute because it's got. I've got a lot. Gemma, did we mention Gemma?
Have a great show as well.
Thank you for that. And yeah, what's Gemma up to? Let's have a look. So she says, did you know we've got our very own Orchard Employment Law YouTube channel now? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
And you can subscribe for plenty of content on employment law, business talks, and HR with lots more to come. So there's obviously a link there for her. That's her pinned tweet. So go and have a look at Gemma Fairclough Hay, and her Twitter is, come on Tasey, it's Gemma Fairhay, isn't it? F-A-I-R Hay, Gemma Fairhay, Gemma with a J, always flummoxed me, I often want to put a G. So Gemma with a J, Fairhay, go and look at their YouTube and find out some more for your biz.
Right, are you going to join me, this is from Zoe Cairns, on how to get more clients, free social media challenge. It's all online and it's happening on the 12th to the 16th of September. I'll walk you through the step-by-step strategies I used to get started without knowing anything about social media, and you'll learn how I got on to become one of the most successful social media mentors. You'll also hear about our social media success formula that you can start implementing in your business to start generating leads and increase your profits in the rest of 2022 and 2023. It's a free place. Grab your free place now on the Social Media Success Challenge, How to Get More Clients. You'll learn more about the 5 proven social media marketing strategies that have stood the test of time. That will give you more time, more results, and the confidence to get started, even with no experience. You'll learn how to have a good social media strategy, how to attract your ideal customer, how to build your email list and online community, how to increase your social media engagement, and how to get more inquiries and clients. And it's all free. And to register for your free ticket, zcsocialmedia.com/social media success challenge.
And book your tickets now for the Al Picasso fundraising.
See what I did there, Al Picasso.
Yeah, point your alpaca or paint your own, sorry. I haven't got my glasses today and my eyesight's got very bad as recently. We are delighted to be welcoming the fantastic team from Brush Party to the Kenwood Trust in October for a special artistic fundraising event. You will be taught how to become your own Picasso and create your very own alpaca painting, hence Al Picasso.
See what I did? Yeah. That's clever, that, isn't it?
Set in their beautiful Sinden room, in just 2 to 3 hours you'll have completed your painting, which you can then take home with you. It doesn't matter if you haven't picked up a paintbrush since you were at school. This class is for everyone. Tickets are £35 each and include all the equipment, paint, canvas, etc. Tea and coffee is available, and you're welcome to bring your own soft drinks and snacks. Please bear in mind no alcohol is permitted on the site. We'll also be holding a raffle, they say, during the event, which will have some incredible prizes, and the gift shop will be open. So don't forget, it's all happening there. Bring your wallets and purses.
Absolutely.
Does anybody have a purse anymore?
Yes.
Tracy's still got a purse. Places are limited with only 30 tickets available, so don't wait to book your place. So it's Saturday the 8th of October, 2 to 5pm. Please arrive 10 minutes prior. The event is at the Sinden Room in Kenwood Trust, and it's 3 W's, Kenwood, that's K-E-N, Ward, W-A-R-D, trust.org.uk, /, Alpa, got to get this right, Al Picasso event.
Great.
Very clever,
aren't they? Nice one, yeah. There's a lot of events coming up at Kenwood, and there's a coffee morning shortly as well, towards the end of September, and loads of other things. And disc golf, of course.
Yeah.
We've got the only disc golf course in Kent, and one of only a few in the UK.
And haven't I got to go waddling off with the on a foraging thing with Simon,
Simon
when I get
Pollard.
Back?
Yeah,
when I get back.
Yeah,
I get back on the 1st of October.
Yeah, what's that got to do with Kenwood Trust?
No, I'm just thinking about outside broadcasts that we should do one at Kenwood.
Okay,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm a Gemini. My brain just goes everywhere.
Disc golf and American invention.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and we've just been accredited, Kenwood Trust, by the UK Disc Golf Association.
What is it then?
Well, hold on. Let me tell you. It's a profession. There's now a professional association for it, and there are professional players. It's golf played with a frisbee.
Oh, so
it looks like fun.
Because
yes.
I was thinking it might be a disco, being me. So it's like,
There's 9 or 18 holes, and it's a net, and you get 3 frisbees that have different sizes and weights, and you throw the frisbee, and where it lands, you throw again with a different frisbee, and you get it in the hole.
Cool. If you could take your dog would love that, wouldn't they? If you've got a dog that likes chase.
But you'd never get the frisbee in the hole, would you? Because the dog would keep catching it.
Yeah.
But it's big, and there's a professional tour in America. Kenwood has been accredited by the UK Professional Association, so why not come and play? You can play as an individual or as a group, so you can bring a company team down or just turn up and play. You can book it through the website, Kenwood Place. Nice one. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Well, is it tunage or news?
No, I've abandoned the tunage on the grounds that it annoyed me. Yeah, it didn't play properly, and there's no point playing it retrospectively.
So you've got Huffy, so we're going to have the news.
I've got a huff.
Yeah.
I've got a huff with it.
Well, you know what I was saying about Huffy people? They annoy me. Huffy people annoy me. So is it the news?
We are going to join
them. I wonder if that button will work.
Well, you never know. Anything could happen. There was a
live
point,
radio.
There was a point a few weeks ago when playing the news involved something that happened about 3 months ago because the news was out of date. Yeah. But I checked it earlier and it is working, or it was.
Yeah, little gremlins.
Now. Yeah. So, I tell you what, let's join the newsroom, shall we? And when we come back, we're going to talk to the absolutely lovely Tracy Ferguson.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be lovely.
Let's see what's happening.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.
The final mourners are viewing the Queen's coffin.